So I don't even know if this is the introduction or this is going to be the first segment, but if you're going to own a food truck, you have got to embrace the fact that you're going to wear a lot of hats. I know a lot of people back about 10 years ago were executive chefs and they wanted to do something, but obviously couldn't get the funds to start a restaurant with the economy being that bad in 2007, 2008. So they went with food trucks just because it was a lower barrier for entry. Now, the thing that I think is beautiful about that is a chef with the skill set and the passion that they have for food was able to still start their business. The downfall is when you start a business, you are not just a chef. You're the accountant. You are the marketing manager. You are the everything. It's you. So you got to wear different hats. It's not all just prep, cook, sell, clean, and leave. That is an important matter of fact. That is the important aspect of running a food truck, but that is not everything. So we'll talk about that stuff first because I think that's important that you do have to understand the food side of running a food truck. Let's just be honest. If you're putting crap out and it's garbage food going out the window, you're not going to be a food truck for very long anyway. So just embrace that. Now, if the numbers make sense and you're a numbers guy or you're a marketing guy, I think you can market anything, or you are a promoter and you think you can get everybody, yeah, that's fantastic. But when they get to your window and everything is said and done and it's time to feed somebody, if it's crap, you won't be a food truck very long. So you have to put the passion in and you have to realize people nowadays, especially nowadays, have a great eye, nose, ear, whatever body part you want to assign to the ability to sense good food. Everyone's a foodie. Between the Food Network putting out so much stuff where now we all have an understanding about higher quality food, to just the internet in general. I mean, you can go on Instagram right now and put in foodie on your hashtag, search that, and you're going to get some crazy stuff and ingredients. You go to Pinterest and they have recipes, and people know more now than ever before. So also, people know when you suck, so don't suck. You got to put out good food. For instance, and just it's not a plug, but I on my truck, I've used everything from making my own sauces to making my own pickled vegetables, whether it be onions, carrots, cucumbers, etc. I pickle my own jalapenos, and you get to play with different things in that process. Store-bought is store-bought, and you have no say in the quality of that food. But when you get to make your own stuff, I think that is something special for one, and that means a lot for two. So if you're gonna, you know, get into the food truck business, I think that it's important to have a serious passion and a serious, if not pedigree, you have to at least want to learn how to put out good food. Matter of fact, shout out to my friend Chef Kevin down here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He is the chef at Scottori's Italian Restaurant. Shameless plug, I guess, for that one, because honestly, it's just really good food. He's one of the few friends I've had that when I eat his food, I have an emotional reaction. To his food, it's crazy, and I love going to eat. But one thing that he said to me was, first of all, congratulations, but more importantly, and I love this, I'll never forget this bit of advice. Listen, Drew, you are the first food truck in Myrtle Beach. You're the first food truck in Conway. You have written the laws for both cities. You are a major influence and influencer in the food truck scene here. However, you are known, you're a media success. You are not a culinary success. There's not a line around your truck for your food. There's a line around your truck because they saw you on the news. And yes, I'll go ahead and admit it. Every time I tell this story, that did hurt my pride a little bit. But he had a great point. And the golden nugget there was, one, I have a line around my truck. No, that's egotistical. I'm kidding. No, one, it's possible to have a line around your truck for your food. And two, I'm not there yet. Three, I can get there. And I've really taken that to heart, that you have to put out. And I've tried to put out better food. I try and put out better food every time I taste test everything. And I tell everyone who eats my food, you know, if I suck, I gotta know. And it's become like a running joke because I want that harsh feedback. And I think anyone else would want that harsh feedback. And every customer would want to feel comfortable giving that harsh feedback. Yeah, you got to use fresh ingredients. You've got to know flavor profiling. You have to understand what happens when you grill something as opposed to saute it. If you cook it in oil as opposed to butter, if you use an oven as opposed to a griddle, or, you know, a salamander or any other, you know, you can braise something, boil it, broil it, pan sear. There's so many options, and I'm not even a chef. These are just things you pick up along the way just from general knowledge. So let's just call it what it is. You are in the food truck business. You have to put out quality food consistently. So let's get out of the truck. Let's get out of the kitchen for a minute. Let's jump into the books, the money side. Cause yeah, you are cooking, you're a chef. You're gonna have to prep. You're gonna have to find the right supplies. You're gonna have to find the right foods and all that, all the raw materials to make your deliciousness. But if you are not smart and tight and clean with your money, then you won't be a food truck very long. And that's something that I almost personally experienced on a number of occasions. I mean, it's a business. You run out of money, your business is dead. That's just how it goes. And the market really doesn't care about, you know, oh, well, I was sick, or oh, you don't understand, or, you know, oh, my Facebook or my Instagram wasn't kicking, or oh, well, I don't know how to use Snapchat, or oh, well, Twitter was, you know, great in 06, but now it's dead. No, it's, and for the record, it's not. It's coming back. It's just different because I'm 34, so fellow 34-year-olds might not be on Twitter, but I can tell you right now, the 18 to 25-year-olds that are out there, they're not using Facebook. Facebook's for old people. My 18-year-old cousin, Emily, was telling me that when I went up to Cape Cod for my Aunt Nadia's 90th birthday, and that blew me away. Just that she was like, Facebook's for old people. I was like, all right. But she's on Snapchat, and she's on Twitter. And that's, you know, you got to know these markets. That's a whole nother side. Probably the next segment is the marketing and getting your name out there and getting the word out. But you have got to keep the numbers tight. You have to know how much you're spending. You got to know how much things cost. Not just cost as far as what it costs, like when you go to Sam's Club or you go to US Foods or Cisco or whatever, however you're getting your food to prep. But then you also got to know how much labor goes into that. How many hours are you out and about, because propane and gasoline for your generator and your motor to run around, you know, that's all going to cost money. You have to be an accountant in a lot of ways. You don't have to be a CPA, but I highly, highly recommend that you get some basic knowledge. With that said, and no, they're not paying me, but you can go on YouTube and do something like Money Week on YouTube. We'll teach you a lot of things, a lot of basics about balance sheets and P&Ls or profit and loss statements. And these are things that I think everybody should know anyway, just so you have a better understanding for how to handle the money coming in and the money going out and what you're left with when the smoke settles each day, each week, each month, each quarter, each year, because those are the scales that you're going to be gauged on your success. So when it comes at the end of the month to pay taxes, I've heard way too often people like, yeah, I didn't understand that part, so I didn't put any money away. Well, that was a dumb move. I can say that because I was that person too. And it is not a fun phone call to be like, hey, we're taking your licenses away, you didn't pay enough taxes, or hey, you owe $1,100 or $500 or, you know, $5,000. Doesn't matter that you're not ready for. That's an expensive haircut you don't want. So just, this segment's quick, the accounting side. You have to know the numbers. And like I said, you can use an accountant and a tax man or a woman when it comes time to do that, but you should probably have a general understanding of food costs and your percentages. Some people need 20% food costs. Some people can operate on 10. I don't know how, I haven't figured that out yet. But if you're, matter of fact, if you're listening to this and your food costs are below 20%, let me know, send me a message or a voicemail, or whatever. And you know, school me, educate me. Right now, it's just me sitting down at a table running this podcast, but I want to get more guests on the show, and I want to hear from you guys if you're listening, because I don't know everything at all, and there's probably people out there that could school me to death on the accounting side and the number side, finances, etc., on running a food truck, the bookkeeping part. So use the tax man, use your accountant for the official stuff, but have a general idea of the money going in and the money coming out. It's just how it goes, or coming in and going out, depending on your perspective. But that's important. Just bottom line, if your food truck runs out of money, you are dead. This is easily my favorite part of everything I get to do, and that's just the marketing, the advertising, the promoting, letting people know who you are, where you're going to be at, and then closing a deal. I think that's the difference between branding, marketing, and advertising, in my opinion. But there's tons of ways to do it, and I really lean hard on one person in particular for this entire like realm of marketing. And so a lot of things that I say and a lot of my philosophy perspective, psychology, whatever, is it echoes this man to a T. So Gary Vaynerchuk, if you ever end up hearing this, first of all, that'd be cool as hell. But yeah, if Gary V ever comes across your feeds on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, I get a lot of my North Star type work from him, but it's just a matter of attention. Where are people paying attention? That's where you need to go. Plain and simple, don't overthink it. Don't get too intricate. Don't try and reinvent the wheel. It's very easy. Where are people paying attention? That's where you need to go interrupt their day. And that's a very interesting point. And the verbiage is clean, is very, very important here. Interrupt people where they're paying attention. But do it with a little finesse. Don't stop them in their tracks. People don't like that. If I was on the street and I put my hand in your chest and said, hey, eat at my food truck, I'd probably get punched in the face. But if I happen to have a red shirt on that for some reason you think is cool to look at and it happens to have the name of my food truck on that shirt, and then I do that often and often enough, that's a nice, light, gentle touch. It's just a weird example, but it is what it is. For how to get your name out. Now, people do that most of the time now on social media. But you got to make it entertaining because, like I said, people don't want to get interrupted. And who's paying attention to what? If you're selling to professionals, you probably don't need to be giving profanity-laden Snapchat stories. I think LinkedIn might work out better. Right now, in the current local landscape of Facebook here in Myrtle, it's very B2B. There's not a lot of individuals that respond to a Facebook ad. Again, the age demographic, and it's inundated with people and other businesses trying to get your business because that's where the attention is right now. So a lot of the younger crowd and the individuals I find are on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram. So you got to know your audience as well. But marketing is really easy, and you got to set your tone as far as who you are. So if you're going to be a very soft-spoken and clean-cut, straight-edge type of individual and you want your food truck to be that as well, then, you know, own that. There's nothing wrong with it. If you're going to be the edgy, you know, loud and party type person, then let that be your identity too. But pick something and then run with that. Run with that forever. You don't need to be perfect. There's no such thing as perfect, especially with the marketing. In my understanding, now, I do not own a marketing firm. I dropped out of school after 6 semesters of marketing, which is barely scratching the surface. And honestly, going to college for marketing was just a bad idea anyway. As soon as you get out, the whole system's obsolete. So, I'd kind of just try and learn from the fly. But as far as the marketing goes, just have fun letting people know who you are and figure out where they're paying attention to. Like right now, it's podcasting, right? Like I am just sitting here talking into a phone, but I don't know who's going to hear this later, and it might be something that you listen to while you're at the gym. You might be listening to this. I said it last time. I think it'd be really cool if people were listening to this podcast while they were prepping for their day on the food truck. I think that'd be kind of badass and meta, but figure out where people are paying attention to. You know, it gets repetitive because it's really that simple, and then from there, you're going to need someone better than me to tell you guys how and what and when. I don't know the algorithms like the back of my hand at all. I put out what I enjoy putting out. I think it's fun to do. And when people respond, I try and respond back. But that's about it. And it does work out, actually. So I've had a lot of success with that on Facebook and Instagram. I enjoy it. I enjoy it immensely. But that's about it. And have fun with it. If you're not enjoying it, then it's going to become a chore. If it becomes a chore, you're going to find it easier and easier to skip out. And this is a full-time thing. If you're going to be food truck as fuck, I mean, you got to go all out. This isn't a casual business. I don't even know what to call this next hat. I'm wearing a Yankee hat. Let's call it your Yankee hat. But there's a side of this business that I think is in my DNA, which is why I always gravitate toward it. And it's the essence, in my mind, of owning a business and running a business, all right? You solve problems and you help people for money, okay? If you're not solving a problem or helping people, but you're doing things for money, you're probably a hustler, and that's not something I want to get into. I want to feel good about what I'm doing. And if you're helping people or solving a problem and you're not doing it for money, that's not a business. That's either a hobby or you're a philanthropist. And I pray that we all become wealthy enough to be philanthropists someday, but that's not the reality for me right now. Now, you have to have your eyes open on industry changes, market shifts, ideas, what's coming up next. I think the greatest analogy would be if you're owning a business, you're kind of in the crow's nest and your job is to find the iceberg before you hit it, right? And that's going to mean that a lot of people on your team and a lot of people in your industry are going to be whining and dining down in the lower decks, enjoying the ride because it's smooth. And then when you see something that you need to pull a sharp change on, you jump down and say, hey, there's an iceberg, we got to shift. And everyone else enjoying themselves is going to be like, no, it's all good. You know, everything's smooth right here. And you have to be the one to be smart enough and strong enough to say, no, here's what we need to do. This party isn't going to last forever. Very simple thing to do. That could be anything from law changes to a new food truck coming into town. That could be potential rivalries, and now the harmony there and the environment shifts to something a little bit more competitive. You know, there's a lot of things that could go right or wrong or just change that as a business owner, you would rather, I guarantee you, you'd be happier proactively handling it than trying to react to something that isn't really a big deal unless you're behind. And don't be behind. So I don't know what the hat's called. We'll call it an entrepreneur hat. You got to be able to solve problems. And if you can solve them before they start, well, then you're in there. And that becomes very, very influential. I'll give you a real time example. And then I'm probably going to go grab a Red Bull because I'm getting kind of tired. But when I first started with the food truck business, it was illegal. All right. So that's a very clear problem to get ahead of. And so I did what I had to do and did what I could to help make that possible. The next thing was a lot of confusion about how to start a food truck. Do you build the truck first? Do you get a business license first? Do you get your kitchen first? Do you just start selling food illegally and then use the illegal money to, and this is a real question that someone asked me, do you just run it almost like black market style and then use that money to go legit? Like, there's a lot of confusion on how to go about this because there's a lot of steps that have never been taken before. So I actually built a pretty decent side business, just helping others start their food truck. But now it's pretty common knowledge because I tried to put out a lot of content on Facebook and other channels for free, just explaining how to do it. Matter of fact, if any of you track down the Trojan Cow Food Trucks Facebook page, I do this video where I explain how to start a food truck in 5 steps. So yeah, if you end up finding it, I don't know, send it to me and tell me what you think. And I hope it's helpful. But, you know, there's just a lot of things that happened. And now that everyone kind of knows how to do it, at least more people than before know how to do it, you know, there's going to be new problems in the industry here in Myrtle Beach. And I think that I enjoy most seeing what those problems are and solving them. One right now, to be honest, like real time, May, 18th, 2019, is when things go wrong, whether it be generator problems, engine problems, tire problems, how to navigate those while you're overwhelmed. Because if, let's just be honest, if you're on a food truck, you're probably overwhelmed trying to do everything at once. And if something goes wrong, how do you handle it? And that's a big thing, is very seldom does everything go right in a day. So how do you handle the bad stuff? How do you navigate the crisis? And that's something I'm personally trying to work on now with the team. And if I come up with it, I'll make it a whole new podcast about how to, you know, be a superhero in the food truck industry. But whatever it is, you got to see the problems. And if you can get ahead of them, fantastic. Or just learn how to navigate those. That way, you know, all the marketing in the world, your numbers could be tight, your food could be awesome. But if you can't see certain icebergs coming, I mean, you're not going to have your food truck very long. So I think having the ability to see things long term and see the bigger picture of things is clutch, clutch, clutch. So that's kind of all I had in mind, just to reach out and say hi to you guys, but also go over, you know, if you're going to run a food truck, you're going to be food truck as fuck. It's going to take a lot more than just the cooking or just the social media or just the business side and the numbers. You're going to wear a lot of hats, and I skipped over a lot. I think I gave the broad strokes just to get you guys thinking about that reality. And there's going to be things that I didn't cover, obviously, that you might experience in your life. And it's, as always, hit me up. Send me a voice message, text. I don't know if you can text on this. I'll find out. But get a hold of me. Let me know what else you're going through and juggling on your food truck journey, because it's not easy, but it's worth it. It's scary sometimes, but at the same time, you do get used to that, and it's worth it. I can't sum it up any more than that. But it's a lot to go on, and you're not alone if you feel overwhelmed or juggling something. you're doing it right, probably, because it's not easy, it's not simple, and it's not a hobby. You got to go all in. That's the point of the whole podcast, is let everybody know that it's not easy, but you can do it. So anyway, this is Drew Basilicato, owner of the Trojan Cow Food Truck from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. If I can unlock my phone in time to get off without running my mouth too much, I'm going to say goodbye right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There, I found my code. All right, I'm out. I'll see you guys next time.